everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He's Larry.
You didn't even let me that time.
I cut him off, actually. All right, give us your full title.
I'm Reverend Dr. Lawrence Van Beek.
Wow.
Reverend EMTCSO.
Reverend Doctor. So I badger you for weeks, and you bring out Reverend Doctor all of a sudden?
Oh, I pulled out. Right out of the holster.
I can see an audience member that'll be upset with us now. So, Lair, we're going to talk about...
They don't like me being a reverend? They don't like that the holiness of it all?
the aura it generates.
I often tell people I'm a reverend doctor because after speaking with me, they don't believe either one of those.
That's awesome. I tell people I'm a, you know, I work in IT. Please don't hate me for that.
don't hurt me or my family.
That's right. You know where I live. So, I hear we're talking about chapter 8 this week.
Yeah. Now this is a big chapter. There's quite a few things going on, but we will marshal our, whatever we marshal and get through the whole thing, I think.
Sounds awesome. That's what we'll do.
So we're going to talk about Philip. And then we're going to talk about Simon the sorcerer, who Luke spends an inordinate amount of time on. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about Philip again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a whirlwind tour of the early church. Shall we begin?
We shall.
Okay. So a little holdover from chapter 7 here, folks, but it'll make sense if you've been following along. Verse 1, chapter 8, and Saul approved of their killing of him. Or Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison.
So this little piece, of course, is getting us ready for chapter 9. That's the big thing that's happening here. The other piece that's happening... Now, this is the first time we've moved from Jerusalem. Now we've moved to Judea. Remember Acts 1:8. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth.
Yes. Yeah.
And so now they're going to Judea. Oh, and Samaria, it says here. So now the church dispersion, the diaspora of the church is happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Picking it up at verse 4, folks. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city.
And again, Steve, you remember that Philip was one of the seven. He was one of the seven deacons. Right?
Yeah, good point. Just like Stephen, right?
Yeah. And he's going to, he's preaching the word now. And it's kind of cool that the signs that were done by the apostles are now also being done by Stephen, first of all, and now by Philip as well. So other people in the church are doing the very same things that the apostles did. So in one sense, there's no hierarchy here. In ministry, there's no hierarchy. Now, there will be a hierarchy in that once people start coming to Christ, the apostles, they send a couple over to Philip to kind of help him out with the ministry that he's doing.
Right.
But he's doing the beginning ministry here. And it's something that, now here's a break in the church. Depending on what part of evangelicalism you come from, you may or may not think that this whole thing about spirits has anything to do with today. Most of the guys would say, if they didn't believe it, they would say, you know, in the very beginning, you know, there were these special miracles that happened, you know, lame people being healed, spirits, unclean spirits coming out.
Right.
But all of that changed once the New Testament was written, you know, the perfect had come, and then there was no need for these great miracles and these great moves of the Spirit to happen. So I think your church and my church is completely fine with miracles happening. I don't know about yours. Is yours okay with it?
Yeah, we'd be fine with it. We just don't bother to practice it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Because I was thinking it was you, but it's actually the that other group. It's not the E-Free, but the the guys. Oh, I forgot who they are now. The Alliance. Because they come from A.B. Simpson, and Simpson, you know, right. He was into the miracles and things.
Right.
And so the Alliance guys were fine with healings, but many aren't. Some are quite opposed to that.
Yeah.
So for the sake of those that are opposed to it, we'll just say it happened then.
Yeah.
And we're sure it happened then, and it's for sure that it happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Philip did.
Right. Okay.
Now we think it still could happen today. We still think that this happens, you know, we usually say it happens to missionaries in other countries.
Yeah.
And that might be because they're actually doing something for God. I don't know. So there might be something going on there that, you know.
Beautifully put. Picking it up at verse 9. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed, was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. So there's that piece that Larry was talking about, right? They sent two apostles. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not come on any of them, and they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given on at the laying of hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon prayed, "Pray to the Lord for me this, so that nothing you have said will happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of God and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages.
Isn't that, it's interesting to me because it's so long. He spends such a chunk of his book talking about Simon the sorcerer.
Yeah.
Oh, and then in the end, you don't even know what happens. And that's the problem with narrative, right? He doesn't tell you, there's so many things he doesn't tell you.
Yeah.
He doesn't tell when Simon believed. It sounds like we would have said he became a Christian. It sounds like he really did believe.
Yeah.
But then later on, Peter says, "May your money perish with you. You have no share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God." Right?
Well, it even says, "I see you're full of bitterness and captive to sin." And you're like, what?
Yeah. And it's so odd because Simon, now he is a sorcerer.
Yeah.
He was called the great power of God. So people were following him. He was very much like the psychics today, right? You know,
right.
Like very doing some stuff, and you don't know if the stuff he does is real. Like
right.
like Luke never says, "Well, you know, sorcery is actually real," or he doesn't say, "You know, sorcery that's just a bunch of hogwash." You know,
yeah.
like who would believe that nonsense? He doesn't say any of that. All that he says is, you know, Simon did some stuff and people followed him and they really, really thought highly of him. And then when Philip preached, he believed and followed them, right?
Yeah. And followed him everywhere, right? Like, and that's,
yeah. He was totally a part of it. And then Peter says, you know, when he sees Peter laying on of hands, he says, hey, you know, I got a lot of money. I'll give you some money. Like, give me this gift of laying on a hand so that people may receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter, in his usual, no, he doesn't kill him this time like he did with Ananias and Sapphira.
It's funny you mention that, because that's exactly the story I was thinking of in reference to this one, going, well, it's odd that he gets mercy and grace here.
Well, a little bit of mercy and grace, but he also gets, you know, he gets Peter's just a grumpy man, you know, yep. I don't know. So he says, may your money perish with you. So the commentators aren't all sure what to do with this either. Because it's a story, you know, and it leaves so much out. Maybe what he was saying is, maybe you did accept Christ, you know, you did believe.
Yeah.
And that's usually what they say about when you come to Christ, they call them believers. But then, you know, you lack something, so you can't be a part of our ministry.
Right.
Maybe that's what he's saying. Or is he saying, you weren't really a Christian, man? You know, like you believed, but like the demons believe and tremble. Like, is it that kind of a belief? You just don't know.
Yep. Okay.
What you do know is Simon's a sorcerer. So there were sorcerers. Later on, we're going to have witches in this book. But right now, we've got sorcerers. And he's doing sorcery, and he wants to be a part of the ministry, but he doesn't do it right. And Peter just gets really angry at him. And then he says to Peter, listen, pray for me that nothing that you have said will happen to me. So he completely believes that it's possible for this stuff to happen to him.
Right.
Right?
And pray. And then it's like, and then Peter and John went other places. So yeah.
Yeah. Like, you want to say to Luke, you know, like, finish your stories, man. You know, this isn't a 1970s movie where it ends, you know, in the air and nobody knows what actually happened.
theater noir. Can't you see Luke telling the story? So this and this and this, and he's like, okay, so let me tell you about Philip and the Ethiopian now. And you're like, no, hang on a second, what happened here? Forget that. Let me tell you about the Ethiopian.
Yeah, like, Ethiopian's pretty interesting too. It's like, you know, our author has ADD or something. And this is long before Ritalin, so.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so here
and we have one more piece to throw in here.
And
we believe that this was inspired of God.
Yes.
And that this is all that God wanted to tell us about this story.
Oh, you just stab people in the heart with this stuff, don't you? You can't help yourself.
I can't help it. So on with the Ethiopian.
That's awesome. Because it's true. Picking it up at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kanuk. I'm going to go with Kanuk on that one.
Okay.
Kandak? What do you got for me?
Kandak sounds good.
Okay, Kandak.
I want to say Kandaki. I'm not sure either.
Well, Kandak sounds like, hey, that might be something tasty to eat.
I was really involved in Jewish literature for a while when I was doing my doctorate, right? And this guy had a book, and it was called the TAMED Skeptic. And I was looking at it, I said to him, I've never heard of the Tamed. What is Tamed? He said, you mean tamed? I went, oh, the tamed skeptic.
That's me, guilty as charged right here.
Well, I completely missed it too. Yeah. So.
Okay, at the treasury of, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. I guess that's where the cherub thing came, because Isaiah. There we go.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it.
Okay, let's just stop there for a sec, I guess.
Yeah, let's stop there.
Okay, so now we've got, the thing that happens here is that Philip is told by the Spirit to go to this certain street, and he follows the guide, and he goes to the street where he was told to go, and he runs into an Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian eunuch, now a eunuch's, there's different there's different purposes for eunuchs, right?
Right.
Like the way we know of eunuchs are men that work in harems that are castrated. So
right.
And that, but eunuch also it was a title of an importance as well. So he was an important official.
Okay.
And so we don't know if that other piece of the eunuch fits here or not, and it's probably not important. The idea was that he was an important man. That he was an Ethiopian intrigues me, because Ethiopia, now we know of Ethiopia from some of the really hard times that they've gone through. Like there were some really just crushing famines in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid, they used to have Biafra, they called it.
Yes.
There were famines in Biafra. They'd have these commercials, you know, with kids around the pool. Some have. And then they'd show the little kids starving to death in Africa and say, some have not. And then the same thing happened in Ethiopia as well. But Ethiopia was not always a poor country. And like those famines that we have heard about, that's the only Ethiopia we know.
Right.
But Ethiopia was actually has been quite wealthy from time to time. And the other piece of it is, Ethiopia has had a really strong Jewish population.
Yeah, that's right.
Even to today, it has a strong Jewish population, and it has a really strong church as well. Like there's an evangelical church there, but the Orthodox church, the Orthodox Ethiopian church, has been a very important church. And do you remember I did my doctorate on a book called Enoch?
Right. Yeah.
The only extant copy at one point in time of Enoch was in Ethiopia,
okay.
in a language called Gez. And a guy named Lawrence was the first guy to translate Enoch into English, and later on it was Charles, and then later again it was Charles Worth that translated the book into English. But they were the ones that maintained the book of Enoch in the form that we have it today, in the Pentateuch that it is.
Okay.
So Ethiopia has been very important to Judaism and to the church through the years.
Yep.
So this is where this guy comes from. And I don't know why. I always picture him as being just a really tall, stately, muscular guy on this. But he might not have been. He might have been just because he's a government worker, so he might just been a little overweight.
He'd look like you and I.
yeah. More like those of us that sit in a chair all day. But anyway, the Spirit tells him, you know, go to this place, and Philip goes there, and then we're on verse 30.
Okay, verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So I invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to Azotus, there we go, and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Yeah. So Philip sees the Ethiopian and he's reading something. And so Philip gets there and he invites Philip to come up with him, which is kind of interesting in itself. And he's reading this passage from Isaiah, which is one of the servant songs.
Yep.
Right.
It's Isaiah 53:7-8. I can see it down below there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And there are three servant songs, two in the 40s and then this one in 53. And this is the main servant song, with him being led by led like sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearers is silent, and so it was. It's kind of easy for Philip to take this and apply it to Jesus, because the church has always applied this to Jesus. So then that's kind of the way that works. And of course the eunuch says, you know, who's he talking about? Jesus. And Philip talks to him about Jesus. And so they travel along and you don't know that he has become a Christian in the way that we think becoming a Christian, you know, where you accept Jesus, you say, forgive me of my sins, come into my life. We don't know about that piece, because that's the piece that Pentecostals do. I don't know about Baptists. I'm pretty sure they do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says, and as they traveled along, the guy sees some water. He says, hey, there's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And a little difference in their culture and ours is that when they became Christians, they wanted to be baptized right away, which might come from their Jewish roots. I'm thinking this Ethiopian guy might very well have been Jewish. Mm. And the Jewish people had series of baptisms that you did for different reasons, right?
Right.
Spiritual reasons. And so for him to be baptized, you know, he didn't have to wait until the church, you know, could afford to fill the tub up with warm water and have people come and see you. they would just do it wherever, whenever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And a little thing about when, and I don't even know if this is true, but about Russia back in, you know, in the 70s and the 60s, for Christians, there was no issue with you becoming a Christian. But when you were baptized, that's when you started losing your rights. When you made that open confession, that's when Christians lost their rights. Because remember, in those days, you had to be part of the Communist Party to get anything,
right?
You know, going in your business or in your life or in your job. And Christians were actually very oppressed in Russia in those days. And baptism, I was told, was the marker that said, yeah, you've actually claimed to be a Christian and you've made this step.
That's good stuff, Larry, isn't it? I mean, it's a great chapter on just church and how people responded to the message. They just went out and did it.
And it's very Pentecostal, because right now in 39, he says, they came out of the water and the Spirit suddenly took Philip away and the eunuch did not see him again. So we all believe he disappeared and ended up somewhere else.
Yeah.
But we have no idea what actually happened there.
Yeah.
But if you like to see people like whisked away and disappear in the Spirit and show up somewhere else, you can make that work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't have to. Maybe Philip just slipped out when he wasn't looking.
Yeah. Or it was like, oh, okay, he's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he preaches the gospel throughout Caesarea. So we're seeing the gospel move now, right? We're seeing the gospel move.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the gospel going to other people. Now we haven't gone to the Gentiles specifically yet, because I think this eunuch was probably Jewish as well. Hmm. And we get to the Gentiles properly in chapter 10.
Right.
So
right.
A couple chapters from now. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Larry, thanks for that. I was kind of excited to do this chapter too, because this is kind of the non-Jerusalem piece starting to unfold, right? We can see the church moving outside its roots and moving out to the heritage.
And it's taken everybody to get there. Like now the disciples are back in Jerusalem. They for some reason didn't get kicked out of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But a lot of other people had to move on.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And it might be, again, of course, remember Stephen was killed because he was of the diaspora.
Right.
And these other guys are of the diaspora, so maybe that's why they have Greek names, so maybe that's why they're getting pushed out.
Yeah, why it works, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Apocalypse Podcast. We're always excited to do this, no matter whether it's 12 or 200 listeners. Actually, I think we've got a few more because it seems like it's going up again.
Which is we're busting at the seams now, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's the new Logitech microphone, mm-hmm, I think. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely not my superior editing of these episodes, I can tell you that. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in a week's time, and we'll talk about Acts chapter 9. Thanks. Talk to you soon.